Hear a squawk on this episode of The Pine Talk. Sullivan and Cannoli will share their stock of information to keep you up to date around the clock.
Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Pine Talk,
the podcast for the Pine 64 community by members of the Pine 64 community.
I am a Peter, just a real person doing a real comparison between Linux and Linux.
And I am a Nazra, just an internet content creator. Is this the Pine tab? Clear screen. All winner A64 CPU? Whoa, fast. The community quote of the day today is by me. Something new we're doing. Ask not what the code can do for you. Ask what you can do for the code. Send in your quotes, and it may be picked and featured in the next episode.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the Pine 64 community update and some other topics, and we will try to round it up with some of your questions. But first, what have you been up to lately?
Well, me. I've recently finished working on the code base of a project I've been working on for 3 years, slightly longer than desired. It's a fan game. It's completely written in C from scratch, from the engine to the game, though I did add Ren scripting for minigames and stuff. It's a point-and-click adventure that will be completely open source, so once the project is done, you may enjoy it if you like point-and-click games, so check it out.
Cool.
What about you, Peter?
I need to ask you something first.
Yeah, ask away.
What is a fan game? Is that a game that spins the fan up on the computer? Or
of course. It's a... No, what it is a game that I'm doing on something that I'm a fan of. Okay. In this context, it's about a series called Televoid from YouTuber Brutal Moose. He made this very interesting series, and I thought it could be turned into an interesting point-and-click game using the characters and setting that he's created and the story that he's created. So I guess I'm showing my appreciation to the story into his creation by creating my own creation for all to appreciate.
That's really cool. And if I may ask, because I'm old and not a gamer, what is Ren scripting?
Oh, don't worry. That's basically it's Ren is a pretty new scripting language. I think it's pretty new, and it's comparable to something like Lua, so it's easily embeddable into another program.
Okay.
And Ren is just a very simple, it has a very simple syntax that's easy to use, but I get to add my own functions that will be called within the C code that I've made. So in the game, I wrote a bunch of code to handle items, for instance, that the character can create. Well, in Ren, I can just call a function that adds an item to the character, and that's not defined anywhere in Ren code. That's all defined in C, but I can call the function and it adds an item.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm proud of the project.
Now, last question, and then I will stop asking you and go on with what I did, and you're welcome to ask questions there too. Will it run on the PinePhone?
Will it run on the PinePhone is a very interesting question, because I actually feel like answering maybe in time, because as I've mentioned once before in the past, I did manage to compile 90% of my engine on the PinePhone and got it running on the PinePhone, and the only thing I didn't get running was the rendering engine. So if I did use an older version of OpenGL and modified some of my functions. Theoretically, I would just need to do that, and yeah, the game would totally run on the PinePhone. Perhaps not well, because you may not know this, I'm not a great programmer necessarily, like, to architect an entire game engine perfectly. Yeah. But it'll definitely be an interesting experiment for the future. So, you know what? In conclusion, yeah, it just might. I think it'd be a fun side project after the fact.
Yeah, it sounds like you will be busy for the next 3 years, then.
Yeah, got my work cut out for me. But what about you, Peter? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been very happy to see someone joining me with the Linmob Apps project to take over that game list, and that's Max Valex. I'm guessing I'm butchering the pronunciation here, but I'm very grateful for that help. So the game list is maintained again, so check it out for PinePhone Gaming. But I've also done some things on my own, and among these things is that I've reinstalled my laptop with the pre-release Fedora 34 workstation, and I've been enjoying GNOME 40 since. And I'm recording on this machine right now, so it seems to be running well.
That is excellent news, I have to say. And you haven't had any issues so far?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm missing some of the extensions I'm usually using, so I'm not heavy on GNOME customization, but I'm always using Caffeine, so that I can, when I'm at a place where that is applicable, just make it so that the screen doesn't lock and stays on, because it's so annoying to just go away briefly, maybe make a little bread, and then sitting down to eat it, and you have to enter your really long password again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that will all come back eventually. And yeah, that's that.
I think that's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited myself to give GNOME 40 a look, but I'm gonna have to wait until I get myself a new graphics card, because right now I'm rocking the NVIDIA Quadro FX 1700, and it's having some issues running any okay. Anything that has any type of advanced graphics. I'm actually running i3 just to avoid graphical issues.
Okay, that sounds quite bad.
I tried everything, and everything just has visual glitches. I've tried GNOME.
So tried... Nouveau didn't really do a good job.
No, indeed. I'm running Nouveau graphics. Well, it tried, and that's what's impressive to me, is that because there's a part of my brain that's still used to, like, I don't know, being on Windows, and like, if I were to just take out a GTX 1070 and replace it with an NVIDIA Quadro FX 1700, yeah, it would have caused so much headaches to just get something to display on the screen normally. But like, I just swapped that out. It said, it just ran out of the box, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think that's
the Linux experience. If you hold the Linux experience old enough and not totally out there, it will usually just work. Or if it doesn't just work, you will have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the experience, isn't it?
That's the experience. And I'm happy to say, though, like, even if some desktops were having some hard times, I am able to, like, run. I've been playing a bit of Celeste recently, a platforming game, and has some 3D menus, and all of that ran like perfectly smoothly. So I was, in a way, impressed, because I wasn't expecting, I guess, anything to work. So
great,
yeah,
great.
GNOME 40 sounds good, but graphically, slightly intense.
I still need to test it on something else that I've got now, but yeah, we'll get to that later. So yes. Let's start with the community news. And this time it's really mostly community news. We don't have much interesting news, as I figured we should call that other news in this here, because, well, another March update, or not another, but a March update was published. And so we're figuring, well, what should we discuss of this update? And we got some questions, and we'll try to answer at least some of them. If not, and if you've got follow-up questions, please ask us on Twitter, on Mastodon, or via email. We'll tell you those later. So let's start with our favorite product, right? The PinePhone. Well, there's going to be, after the end of community editions, there's going to be the beta edition. And it's going to ship with Mandrao Plasma Mobile pre-installed. And it will be on sale since the 24th of March when you're listening to that. We are recording on the 23rd, so we don't know whether this will actually happen, but we are very positive that it will. Because of something else we'll get to later, there's one different chip in there, and that's the magnetometer, the compass, and we will link the part numbers. So it's not LIS3MDL, but AF8133L, basically. Whatever that means, but it's a different part, and that appears to be, if I'm parsing Lukasz' explanation correctly, that it may have worse mainland Linux support. So that's kind of sad, but honestly, I'm just glad that they found a chip so that they can make these, and that I will no longer see people on Twitter being like, "Well, there's no PinePhone to buy. What's going on?" That really made me very tired and sad seeing that all the time.
Perhaps there could be like a better explanation on the front page of the website, but there's a bit of jumping to conclusions that is done by some people.
I mean, sometimes you just have to vent. I get that.
Yeah,
I do that too, but I try to do it not on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I just destroy things. Yeah, stuff like that.
Just keeps internal.
Yeah, you know. I've got a plan that I can torture. So I don't know. That would be awful.
Otherwise, what did you think about the new box design that the PinePhone is kind of coming?
Yeah, it's a little bit boring, maybe, but honestly, boring is sometimes good, and it's maybe a sign of maturity. So it's less bland than the Braveheart edition box was, which was very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, in a way, if we take Braveheart, then the community editions all had their own flair. And this one just is a development or an evolution from the Braveheart box, maybe, in my view. If you're thinking about this as part of Pine 64 design history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's fine. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you that it's definitely bland, but I like a bit of definitely a bit of playfulness with designs too. Like my favorite case so far is the Manjaro Community Edition one. There's something about the fact that the Manjaro logo itself had circuit boards on it, and that in the background there was these an array of icons that were cute. They kind of showed a bit of the PinePhone and the two things that it's really trying to achieve. You know, it's very technical, and you can really get behind there and get things working and program whatever you want. But you know, there is also cute icons to click on, and there's work being done to make it a normal phone, if I can say that, like a normal phone experience. But it's definitely a good mix of both in the end, I think. Yeah. And the Manjaro logo for me is what shows that the most. So if they could do something along the same lines, get inspired,
you know, I mean for the final PinePhone final edition.
Yeah, exactly.
PinePhone custom edition.
But for the moment, it's not the box that's that important either. You know, you buy the phone because you want the phone.
That's right. Yeah, I've been thinking. You know that Manjaro box. I know that what it shows, but I never got a Manjaro Community Edition, so I've never seen it in person. Hmm. And it always on thumbnails on social media, it looked to me like the circuit board was drawn. Looked like a pencil drawing, you know. So it looked really differently on thumbnails. I was always like, okay, they draw that and they didn't do a good job, you know, like kid would pencil that out. That was funny. So my favorite box actually is, well, it's tough. I really like the two last ones, although I haven't seen those in person. And then I'm still very fond of the Postmarket OS one, mm-hmm. because that had some source code on it. I think it might have been PM Bootstrap source code, you know, of their tool that you can use to build packages and install it to phones and so on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was quite cool, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what your favorite box is, by the way. Do that.
We'd love to
know. Do it now. Don't wait because you'll forget it. okay, so and because I said do it now, I'll now tell you how to do that. You can tweet at us at TalkPine. You can toot at us on Mastodon at TalkPine at fostodon.org. You can use the hashtag PineTalk. You can get into our Discord on the Pine64 Discord server. It's called PineTalk Podcast. Or you can write us an email to pine.talk@pine64.org.
The Postmarket OS box is busy though with all the source code.
Yeah, bit busy. That's right.
That's right. I like busy.
I like busy because I'm always busy. I mean, of course, that's
you are that's, always, you know, busy.
We are really the box and I. We share a life. We are always busy. Yeah. Let's continue with the good news. So PineBook Pro is also going to be available again, but only with ANSI keywords or ANSI keywords. So that's, mm-hmm. The American layout, right? Not ISO. ISO. Mm-hmm. And I think there was talk about a price. In about an increase in price. I think we don't know how much that will be, but yeah, that's this component shortage we'll talk later about.
Mm-hmm.
And I already saw a question that was asking us whether it would be possible to switch keyboards later on. Guess that was another European person like me. And yes, it is. We found one video on YouTube detailing that process, so you can just watch that to see whether you could figure that out on your own, whether you could do that.
We believe in you.
Yeah, you can do it. Or you just keep waiting. But yeah, waiting is not fun.
It's fun. In other news, there's some updates for the Pine Time, something we are both yet to receive. Just like you, we wait. but yes, this I was still quite interested, and I'm interested generally in the Pine Time. Like its price and what it can do seems quite astonishing to me. So there's a new bootloader that is taking steps towards ensuring that it works correctly and that the upgrade procedure itself is as safe as possible. Sorry, I laughed there because I just said that they're taking steps that it works correctly. Not that the old bootloader didn't, but yeah, they're fixing bugs, they're making it more stable, and they're making progress. Otherwise, Infinitime has an update. Infinitime 0.14, called Green Avocado, brought the first UI update of Infinitime, which is pretty cool. Joaquim, I'm not sure how to say that. Joaquim.
Sounds right.
Did an awesome work updating LVGL, the open source graphics library used for Infinitime, which, upon my own research, LVGL seems really cool. I didn't know about this, but with what I've seen, that's really going to enable for Infinitime to have quite interesting graphical effects without being too heavy on the hardware. Because as we know, the Pinetime doesn't have the most advanced hardware in it, but it's pretty cool. I always like doing more with less. It's interesting.
Definitely. It's totally interesting. And we'll put a link in there of an post about LVGL and how it can be run on the PinePhone. It's a bit older, and you may have read it back then, but maybe it's interesting.
Oh, for sure. Finally, we have Wasp OS that has also seen a new release and is now supported by Gadget Bridge, the Android companion app that allows you to communicate to your Android devices without the vendor's closed source application and without the need to create an account and transmit any of your data to the vendor's servers. Now, the name of the application, Pushing a Notification, and the full text message is displayed in the notification app in Infinitime. Did that make sense, or did I skip a sentence? I think that made sense. Yes.
Yeah, Gadget Bridge is a great app. I've been using that with Android with my good old Pebble Time Steel watch for a long time, and it's been really solid. It's simple enough, but powerful at the same time, and just great to have, especially if you've got, I don't know, one of those Xiaomi Mi Bands or stuff that have these apps that are really that really may be transmitting some data back to Xiaomi that you don't want to go there. GadgetBit is really great for that, and it supports a lot of devices. The PinePhone equivalent of that app would be, currently, because of it supports so many devices, would be, I'm blanking on the name. MS Fish. AMAZ Fish, which is originally a Sailfish app, but can be run on Plasma Mobile and also for Just Fine, developed by Adam Pick, who's porting Sailfish OS to the PinePhone, among other things.
That's good to know. We love our amazing fish.
Yeah.
I can say quickly too. I will leave links to Gadget Bridge and AmazeFish.
Yes, you'll do that.
And I think part of my fascination, if I may interject another slightly short personal story.
Of course.
I think my fascination with the Pinetime and its very limited hardware and doing less with more for me is the fact that when I was in high school and they passed us these graphic calculators, the ones with like a Z80 processor in it. It was super, I thought it was super cool because it was more than a calculator. It had a full-fledged processor on it, and it had a way you could program on it using some old programming, like a basic TI Basic because it was a TI calculator. And like I used to program all the time on that thing when in school instead of doing the math I was supposed to do. And I wrote things. I wrote things like I wrote a 3D renderer, for instance. And I thought that was super cool because like it wasn't designed at all to do 3D graphing. It was only supposed to do 2D graphing. And well, I took that as a challenge and I did it. And I was like, you know, heck yeah. So there's a part of that that I look at these cheap $20, $30 watches and it's like, you compare the price to that to like some of the utter normal smartwatches. And it's like anybody can afford that smartwatch. And like, if you, or I think you were telling me this, like you look at like the demo scene.
Yeah.
People who just write beautiful mathematical structures with so little code that run on anything.
Yeah.
And I find that impressive and very, very interesting. I don't know about you.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think it's, if you want to learn something about computing, this is really a nice task to learn something new, even if you're usually, I don't know, maybe developing applications or something. This is something really different and might be, enlivening or something, to use mm-hmm. the term out of the advertising industry.
If you game, you know settling into your battle station feels enlivening.
Yeah, so that's really something. Talking about enlivening, Chris McG has managed to enliven or enable his Pine Cube for use as a webcam. And he's shared his findings on Twitter. So it's software encoding, it's just all MJPEG and RAW, and it streams fine in 720p. And if you want to know how to do that, he put the instructions to do so in the wiki so that you can just follow what he did. And maybe if you've got ways to improve that, you can edit that in there. And I think it's really great when something and information like this lands on a wiki, especially with a device where enabling is still in the earlier stages, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you were really interested in the Pine Cube as well, weren't you?
I was really interested. Something about just an open source security camera that, I don't know, it had everything that I see on a normal, you know, security camera, Ethernet, yeah, and a whole system on board, and it had everything you want except for, I guess, the operating system.
Yeah,
I was definitely interested, but it seems that I'm not the one who received one.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, we let's explain that. We both mm-hmm. wrote little lists to Lukasz when we started this because he was like, "Hey guys, so if you do that podcast, we will send you something. Just give me a list." And turns out I received a Pine Cube, among other things, which is something I actually never really was interested in, I just made a decision, you know, that now that I have it, and I've been thinking of sending it to you, Ezra, but that's really intercontinental shipping, so mm-hmm. difficult, but I would be willing to do it, so you can still ask me for that. But I will try to do what Chris McG did here and then use this for my next PinePhone live stream. Because mm-hmm. If you've watched any of my streams, you'll know that I've been using a terrible old PlayStation iCam camera to point at myself, because that was like the only kind of webcam that was available a couple of weeks into the pandemic when everybody had bought all those webcams. And yeah, I should replace that with something nicer and Now that the Pinecube can do 720p, it's definitely nicer than that crap shoot thing I used there. So I will try that. Mm. I will actually try that.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really excited to see it in action. As much as I do want to play with one myself, I do also enjoy your suffering of having to play with something you didn't even ask for.
Well, it's really not suffering, honestly. I mean, as soon as you found a project that mm-hmm. seems doable because there are instructions out there, I think mm-hmm. it's totally fine, right? Mm-hmm. But I got it and I was like, well, I don't know what to do with this. I was even thinking about setting it up and giving it to my parents. And then I looked at the wiki page of how to set it up and I was like, okay, no, that's not going to work. But yeah, speaking of webcam shortages, that's, I think, a good segue to component shortages, a topic which was requested by Dank12, the guy behind DankNix, the awesome Arch Linux ARM distribution I still use. I've been meaning to switch, but I just can't do it. And Thanos, the tank engine in Discord. So the community update has a pretty good analogy that Lukasz found. And it's, do you remember the toilet paper and hand sanitizer shortages at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in the West? It's like that, but with transistors, PC phone parts, and silicon. And that's basically what's happening, and it's the same behavior that some people have hoarded. These components are selling them off at higher prices now to those that need them. And it's really a crisis that developed in the industry over the past month. I think there were headlines about this in February already, about a silicon chip shortage that's causing automakers to idle their factories. So they had basically to stop production because they couldn't get the chips they need for their cars. And that has since accelerated to phones and game consoles and even Qualcomm, who are, let's just put it, huge. They are in, well, what at least it feels like in most of the Android phones out there, have trouble getting the resources they need to produce their chips, right, and get them out of the door.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really pretty bad. And I mean, there's no, we don't have any information on this, but I know that many people have been asking about the PineTab and when that's coming back into stock. And I guess, that's also affected by the component shortage. So, yeah. Displays were pretty early in taking a price hike because of laptop production. And yeah, now that chips are in shortage, it just gets more and more difficult, which is why I'm extra glad that the PinePhone and the PineBook Pro are going to be back in stock, or mm-hmm. going to be back on sale. Right.
Are currently on sale.
Yeah. Well, the PineBook Pro isn't, right?
No.
As this is published. And yeah, what Pine do you Pine. Think, Ezra?
I think people should stop freaking out.
Yeah, stop freak out, people. Just panic.
Just panic.
Do like your kernel sometimes does. Just panic.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know. Well, one, Lukasz is. I think that was a great analogy to, that it really is just like the toilet paper thing that like. When there's none left, and
yeah,
it's going to come back in time. Like I think we all know that all of this is happening because of the pandemic, and it's making everything more complicated.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's going to be better.
Yeah, it's going to be better. But then again, we don't know how long it will take until it's going to be better again, because The thing is, these supply chains are quite complicated. And according to the economic theory I had to learn during my studies, it's basically that all this is based on the expected demand. So in a crisis, producers are like, well, I don't know whether I will sell my stuff. And so they basically sent their staff home and shut down production or reduce production. And then when it turns out, okay, this crisis isn't affecting this branch, then they have to ramp it up again. And that, of course, takes some time. And even if they are fast at that, the thing is that they always are part of a supply chain. So they buy stuff from someone else and sell it onto these. And it happens in all these elements of this supply chain. And so it's a bit like maybe a traffic jam, right? When there's a traffic jam and cars and you're at the end of it, then you can drive again. But it really takes some time and you don't always know. Sometimes there's a jammed up traffic a few kilometers from there again because people can't drive. So it's all this latency that's added in there and that's making things really tough to prognose. So I don't think anybody can tell how long this is going to take. I mean, there may also be shortages in just raw materials, like where can we mine, I don't know, maybe lithium or some element that's being used in production. So there's a lot of going into this, and it's tough to say when it's going to be fine again, but eventually, it better be fine again.
I mean, I think the industry is going to have to find out something. Someone is going to see this as a business opportunity on, okay, how can I get silicon back in the market?
Yeah, but the point is that that is usually pretty hard to set up that business. And that always takes time. And it's really risky because you never know whether the other producers that reduce their output before won't be able to put you know, get back to capacity before you do that. So it's really, really tough.
I'm sure I could do it.
Yes, like those VR glasses.
Exactly. It's just I'm so busy, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
By the way, while you're waiting for the Pine Tap, quick shout out to two content creators that have been creating some Pine Tap content lately, and that's Linux Launch and Privacy and Tech Tips, or RTP. Watch their content. I think it's quite different. Privacy and Tech Tips is really nerdy and goes into stuff like software-defined radio and so on, which is quite interesting. And I've enjoyed these videos quite a lot, so give them some views, maybe. We'll link their channels.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, after we already talked about the Pine Cube I have, we are ending the news segment and we're going to something, well, what else happened, I'll call it. And in this segment that will be in this fifth episode and may come back or maybe not, I'll talk about my ROG Pro 64, which I had asked for and received, luckily. So, yeah, I had this for a while, but I didn't really get to play with it for quite some time because I was like, I don't have a case. Because, well, the big network attached storage case is a separate shipment, usually, and I don't know, maybe I will get some, maybe not. So I decided to just buy a ROG Pro 64 premium aluminum casing from my own money, and I bought it on the Amazon Marketplace, and was quite a bit more expensive than if I would have bought it from Pine64.com directly, but Then again, I figured it would be faster and I wouldn't have to deal with customs and yeah. So I have that case. I can tell you it's pretty nice. It's tough to say what I would compare that size to, maybe a really big box of cigarettes or even a really small box of cigars. Maybe a pencil case of short pencils. It's just look up the measurements. I've posted some size comparison photos of this case with Rock Pro in it and my Raspberry Pi 4, which has a metal cooling block on it too. So they look kind of similar, both metal and black. And the Rock Pro 64 is a lot bigger, I can tell you that. But it's really well made, and screwing this together was really easy. Pro tip to everybody who's also getting some eMMC chip for this thing and the eMMC flashing dongle, if you want to call it that. While you're still experimenting and distro hopping and assuming you've got a spare SD card, a spare micro SD card, don't use the eMMC, just use the micro SD card, because that's making distro hopping very easier, because otherwise you will have to open these 1, 2, 3, 4 12 screws, I think it are. 12 screws all the time when you want to reflash your eMMC, and that's just not fun. So, yeah.
Hop with the SSD or with the SD card, and once you find one that you're happy with, then you can go through. That's what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. Just try it out from the SD card, because the boot order is like that it would always boot from the eMMC first and the SD card second. In theory, I think there may be some bootloader project. I really didn't have the time to go into this into detail. I just tried three distributions until now, and that two of them were Manjaro, one with Manjaro KDE, the current release, which is, well, quite nice. I have to say that the only reason why I didn't stick with it was like, I want to try something else. And the other reason was, I don't like that green. What have they done to my beloved Breathe theme? yeah, that's just a Peter issue, I think. Or Sullivan, as I was called in the introduction. Manjaro Sway also is quite nice. Sadly, the latest release didn't bring a Manjaro Sway image, so I had to use an older one and then upgrade that. That went mostly fine. I think there's one part of the configuration that has to be adjusted. Sway, if you don't know, is basically i3 but for Wayland, and it's using the WL Roots framework, like FOC and FOSH do. So in a way, it's a little bit familiar to what we're using, what you may be using on your PinePhone.
And Twister OS.
Yeah, and then TwistOS, because people were like, hey, TwistOS, we had that in the feedback, I think, of the last episode, right? And then people piled on library, I think, in the comments. They were like, hey, yeah, TwistOS, you need to try that. And so I did. And yeah, it's I tried the Ambient variant. There's a variant that's based on Manjaro. But I figured, like, hey, let's try something else. So I went with Ambient. That was Ambient Focal. So that's the Ubuntu variant of Ambient that this is based on. And TwistOS is really special in a way, because it brings a ton of stuff pre-installed that you otherwise have to hunt around for. So there are many emulators pre-installed. There's Discord pre-installed. The desktop, by the way, is XFCE, and it can be customized to look like basically every version of Windows I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't like Windows, so I didn't do that. I didn't even test it because I was like, no way, Jose. But so Discord emulators, then Box 86, which is this emulator that lets you execute x86 code on the ARM platform, which is quite cool. I actually didn't manage to try that out successfully. And then there's also a pre-installed installer for a Chromium browser that's using the Whitevine libraries, I think, taken out of Chrome OS, so that you can watch Netflix or Prime Video or any other of those DRM'd video services. That I could install it, but it sadly didn't launch for me on my brief tries.
Mm.
So I really tried this only for like four, no, not even four, like 2 or 3 hours yesterday. But generally, I must say, if you're the person that is into gaming, likes Discord, loves emulators, and likes Windows, go for it. This is quite cool, and definitely try it out. And maybe try it out in SD cards. That is easier to hop away. But no, seriously, this is quite cool. And just because it's not for me, I don't want to dunk on it, right?
Mm-hmm. What theme did you end up going with, or aesthetic?
I stuck to the default Twist OS look, which is quite vibrantly colored.
Mm-hmm.
I shared it, shared a picture of that to our internal Discord, mm-hmm. and I think, if I recall correctly, Lukas had a funny reaction to that. What was it? Oh, good God, sensory overload.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It also has these, I forgot what they're called. What are these things that display? Is it Conky?
Conky,
yeah. Right? Conky that display all these graphs on your desktop so that you know, oh God, I'm using this amount of RAM and my CPU is working this hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So if you want to know that. But all in all, I have to say that this ROG Pro 64 is quite fast enough for many things. I think I could do most of my work with it, so I of course didn't try video editing,
mm-hmm.
but I might just try that eventually for fun. I mean, why not? Might go back to some variant of Manjaro, maybe Manjaro KDE, and just put KDE and Live on there. Give it a go. I mean, come on, why not?
I mean,
yeah.
Did you try? You might not like the Windows aesthetic, but I think they had a couple of Mac-looking aesthetics, too.
It's XFCE. Come on. It won't fool me to be a proper Mac, so I didn't even... I didn't even try that. I mean, if I give TwistOS another try, I promise you I will test drive that. But I didn't feel like it yesterday. I was like, you know, the one I would have been most likely to go with would actually have been Twister 95, which looks like Windows 95, because
yeah,
I forget like that. Yeah. That's something that XFCE can totally pull off. Yeah. So the only thing I had problems with and actually used, despite being stupid and putting that eMMC into use too early, for my slightly non-standard 1920 times 1200 display, so it's not full HD, but a little bit has a little bit more pixels in the height. So it's I think some old, what is it called, WUXGA or something. It has one of these old multiple letter names. And I couldn't really get the HDMI output to do that correctly. So apparently I would need to connect it via DisplayPort, so via the USB-C port that this thing has. But at least with my Pine 64 PinePhone docking station convergence dock thingy, I couldn't pull that off either. And I tried to connect my little HP laptop, because right, that would have been great. That would have worked to have some basically a DIY PinePhone without DIYing too much. So perfect balance. But that thing didn't even show up in LSUSB. So, but I think that's most likely a laptop issue and not a ROG Pro 64 issue, because that laptop I have there is famous to not work with a lot of hardware. So it, for example, doesn't work with the Samsung DeX stuff. So yeah, at least that the serial number of device I have. There are other variants of this laptop that work, that are more compatible, to put it that way. But yeah, so that's my first impressions on the ROG Pro 64. Do you have any questions, Ezra?
Do I have any questions? Well, you know, I think you answered my question, which would have been like about video editing, because I do want to see you edit some videos. You should play some games too.
Yeah, playing games. But what I mean, I'm really not much of a gamer, so. I mean, I could try to play some old GTA 3 or something. Wasn't there this project that basically, I mean, I think they received a takedown request on GitHub, but the code may still be around. Yeah, I'll look into that maybe, because that might work. So what will I do with this? Well, I will likely use it as a replacement for my current WAND board as a home server. Especially if I think I'll eventually get a network attached storage case, be it via Pine 64 or by buying it on my own money. So that is promising. And I will be on holidays next week, so I might be using it as a little movie box during that time, and maybe take my Bluetooth gamepads I never use with me and play some retro Super Nintendo games or something. I've also thought about an accessory I would like, and I could come up with one thing, and that would be a really small, tiny, and I think it would fit in there, in this case I have, in this premium aluminum casing. A really small PCIe to M.2 SSD adapter board. That would be great, because then you could have really fast storage in a really small box and have a very capable system.
Like those Mac Minis.
Yeah, not that capable, but yeah, kind of.
Well, like an affordable Mac Mini.
Like an affordable Linux-y rectangular black Pine 64 Mac Mini. Yeah, if that makes sense.
The Pine Linny.
Pine Linny. Yeah, so if you have suggestions of what I should try aside from Twist OS, I mean, you can ask me to try that again in a couple months, but not this week, please. Then please get them in. I'm curious about what you come up with there. And yeah, let's do that community engagement now and go to our listener questions.
Yes.
Can you read the first one?
Anders asks via email, Hey guys, I really have only one question for you. Do you think that the Pine phone, or any other Linux phone that will actually ever be finished, or like so many other open source things, will it be stuck in an endless loop of development? Thanks. He's asking, yeah, if the Pine phone, is it going to be finished, or is it going to be in an endless loop of development like other Linux phones? I think that's a misleading question.
Oh, like other Linux things. He has a point, you know. There is this,
yeah.
We've seen that with KDE over the years, or arguably with GNOME 2, so that it reaches a really great state, and then there's maybe a new version of the underlying toolkit or framework, like with Qt, and then they rebuild everything on that new base, and for a while it really is rough and unusable, but the old stuff isn't really, well, nothing's happening there, so that's not interesting anymore. So there is this tendency that it may feel like that it's stuck in an endless loop of development.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Will it be stuck in an endless loop of development?
Well, I think we're a bit in like the climb part now, though, like, because everybody is like super excited and interested because it's all new, and well, like Ubuntu did the Ubuntu Touch thing a while back, but now it's like every all of the big boys are entering this new ring of Linux phones.
All of the big distro guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that, and it's not like Linux phones didn't exist way before either, but this kind of new modernish world of Linux, I guess. And, you know, I see a lot of advances in these different sectors, and perhaps, like, I think they're going to work towards something stable before moving out, I would say. And, I mean, and I'm seeing progress, I think I can say that as I'm seeing progress, and progress is good for the moment. That's it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this before, and I was like, well, maybe we have to differentiate between kernel support, and that's going to be good at some point, and then the user land that will move, but there will always be distributions that will feel quite stable because they are very careful with changing, like Ubuntu Touch is. But while I listen to you, I figured something else, and that is, will it be stable before we will have another generation of the Pine phone or some other more powerful hardware that people may move on to?
So that's a good question.
That's another part of this question, and I'm not really sure, but I'm generally positive that, you know, once that base is solid, and I think the kernel, if you've read Maggie's recent post, he still has some plans, but it's getting better and better. And if these improvements in his tree will eventually be merged into mainline, then we're going to have a really solid base there with the Pine phone. And there will be less and less bugs, I think, in both firmware and the kernel. And then the same goes for Phosh, for example. They recently released, well, Phosh, you know, for this GNOME on Mobile effort that Purism does, they recently released another version of FOC, the compositor. And yeah, they wrote in the release notes that it's going to be more stable, and it is. I've really seen a lot less crashes since that landed in Arch Linux ARM. And will it ever be finished? No, because, well, apps are moving on to GTK4, so there will always be something happening, but I think it has a very high likelihood that it will get to a solid state where you can just use it. Arguably, as a Linux enthusiast, as someone who doesn't need all these proprietary servers that likely will never come over, but if that you can use it as a Linux person in a good way for a longer time and it won't break again, I see that coming. So I'm really positive there.
Yeah, I'm positive too. Yeah.
You're so positive.
I've been so positive vibes all around.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, what you were mentioning about, you know, a solid base is definitely true with my understanding. If people are still following something similar to the Unix philosophy, which is that things should work, should be simple and work together and be a little more modular. Sorry. it would allow for like better stability, in my opinion, because I don't know, things can be a little more focused, I guess.
Yeah, like
you need a strong backbone,
like simple, sure. XMobile, right? SXMO.
Yeah,
that's quite Unix philosophy. Not that much code, and even that. I mean, I'm not looking forward to doing another video on that one, because I likely won't be able to remember those gestures and do a terrible job at demoing it. But even that has been improving. It's been really getting slightly more user-friendly and user-friendly. There's now a variant that's based on Arch Linux ARM, by the way. So that might be something to check out, and I'll put a link in here because I talked about it now. But so Anders or Anas, I think you might be Danish, and then I think the name is called Anders. We're positive, and let us know whether you're happy with this answer. And then we got another question.
Yeah.
Danny asked, also by email, "Hi, hello, my name is Danny Medina, and I've been very impressed with the products of Pine64. I got my Pinebook Pro in about August 2020, and I've been very happy with it since then, especially noticing the vast software improvements for it from the various Linux communities. Also bought a PinePhone, Postmarketers Community Edition, and also experienced, or rather been experiencing the same. Can't wait until I can say the PinePhone is my phone now. Thank you all for bringing forth such good hardware. Now on to my question. And this is regarding the Pinebook Pro. Are there any plans in making upgradable parts for this device? For example, bigger battery, since there's a lot of space, upgraded motherboard with more RAM, processing power for perhaps more fluidity, another touchpad or other CASs, etc. I know this device fits in the spectrum of like a low power device and perhaps not a main laptop replacement, but is there a chance that we may receive parts to accomplish just that? I mean, who wouldn't be interested?" So that's quite a long-winded question, and please, guys, keep them short. But I figured that I would read out the whole mail to get the context in, to get the make sure that we properly represent his viewpoint. So I actually forgot to ask Lukasz about it. So we definitely can't be saying anything about upgradable parts for the device. I don't know about a bigger battery, whether that would fit in there, but I think he did his research, so maybe. More RAM, well, that's only going to happen with a new system on a chip, because the Rockchip RK3399 maxes out at 4 gigabytes of RAM. Processing power, well, yeah. A newer chipset would arguably have more power there too, except if it were the what's the one in the Quartz 64? I forgot. I think it's the RK3566 or something. Yeah. That would allow for more RAM, but not have more processing power. Touchpad, well, that's a different device. Other cases, etc. Yes, interesting. And what do you think, Ezra? I just lost my train of thought.
I think the Pinebook Pro is planning to be upgradable? I am not convinced. I think it's a pretty closed system.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily Pine's plans for that. If they do choose to make something upgradable, I don't even think it'll be a Pinebook Pro. I think it would be a separate product.
Maybe, like, yeah.
Altogether. You did link to something you found?
Yeah, I linked to another product that was funded on CrowdSupply at a way higher price than the Pinebook Pro, which has the same system on a chip the Librem 5 has. So it's the NXP IMX 8M. And that's by a little German outfit called MNTMN. And it's the MNT Reform. You may have heard of that. That's a very modular design. It's quite thick. But that would be a way to make such a laptop that would be upgradable. That said, I think, you know, Pine 64 designed the Pinebook Pro, so as long as the thermals allow it and there's a new chipset, like maybe the upcoming Rockchip RK3588 that should have been released by now, but will take some more time to land on the market, and who knows how long it will take to get that in the necessary quantities, and then it would have to be receive some hardware enablement first, right? So I wouldn't call that likely for this year or even next year that this will be an upgrade for the Pinebook Pro, but such a chipset along those lines, that could be possible. I mean, why not? It should, in theory, fit in with the thermals, so it could be done, right? But whether they will do that or make something that's more of a replaceable kit, that like the MNT Reform, you know, the Pine 64 system, single board computers have been having this form factor for a while, and in theory, you could design a rather thick component replaceable laptop on the base of this standard mainboards of the ROG Pro or something. They might do that, but we don't know anything. And I think I would really like to have such a device, even if it's chunky, that's hackable and has replaceable components.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if that's something that Pine 64 sees a market for. So,
same. I guess we'll leave that to the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Definitely. Let's leave that to the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really expanding business.
Yeah. So, let's get to the end of this.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. We are listed in many directories. I still haven't made progress with GPodder. So no full success yet. And I will keep saying that until I do, so that I've got something to motivate me to deal with GPodder. And maybe you're listening to this using the MP3 feed. So then you can check out those chapter markers. And yeah, Ezra, I read your part. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll read your part. If you don't need these chapter markers, you can save on some bandwidth and use Peter's beloved Opus version. Once more, a huge thanks to NerdZoom Media for being our audio producers.
Great. that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Remember, this is a community podcast, so please leave feedback on what we should do better. Get your suggestions in. And feel free to ask us basically any question.
And leave a quote for of the day.
Yeah, do that.
You can join the Discord channel, Pine Talk Podcast, on Pine64's Discord. You can send us an email at pinetalk@pine64.org and tweet at us. We're at TalkPine. We've joined Mastodon recently. We're at TalkPine@fostodone.org. If you can't remember these names, just use the hashtag AskPineTalk.
Yes, that's it. Goodbye. Thanks again for listening. Thank you.